Good evening. Are you blessed? Amen. We are blessed. We'll start by reminding us how blessed we are. God is good. He's given us this privilege to be here tonight, the privilege to open up His Word and to learn of Him. As I said this morning, this is the Word of God. Everything that it says is correct. Everything that it says is wrong is wrong. And so we open the Word to learn and to grow thereby. Acts chapter 6 tonight, chosen to serve. And there are a lot of lessons within these seven verses that we're going to discuss. And I know that this is, or I believe this to be, the first of the deacons that were elected or chosen to serve. But there's a lot of good lessons for not only deacons, but for everybody in this text. So, Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, would you stand with me as we read and respect the Word of God? Now, in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. When they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow to you tonight, asking for your guidance. Lord, open our minds and our hearts to your word. Speak through your word that we may grow, that we may know you, that we may serve you and honor you for the lives that we live. We give you all glory and praise for your goodness. We praise you most of all for salvation that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. As I said just a moment ago, I understand this to be the first appointment of deacons that are mentioned in the Bible. But I also think there are a lot of lessons that we can learn that are beyond deacons. And this isn't going to be a deacon study tonight. This is going to be an everybody study tonight. Okay? And first thing we learn is that in the church at Jerusalem, there was a problem. You read there, and it kind of makes you smile when you stop and think about it. It says, in those days when the number of disciples were multiplying, I mean, people are coming to Jesus right and left. The church is growing, and what happens? There arose a complaint. We know they were scriptural, right? There were complainers there. No, and I say that jokingly. And the reason I say it jokingly is because it was a valid complaint. Okay? This wasn't a complaint over the thermostat or the color of carpet or anything like that. This was a valid complaint. And as we have studied before, we know that at this point, many of the members, if not all the members, have sold their property, and they have laid the money or proceeds from those sale at the apostles' feet. At this point, the membership of the church, as I mentioned this morning, I would estimate it somewhere 10 to 15, maybe more than that, 10 to 15,000. And so you can only imagine the job that this had become. Let's say it was 15,000 people that they had sold their property. And can you imagine the funds that was laid at the apostles' feet, and not just the funds, but the amount of people that they became responsible for taking care of and overseeing the distribution of these funds. And it had it had been a problem, and it became a problem. As I said, I can't imagine the magnitude of that endeavor. The first thing that we can learn here is this. Do you want to be a growing church? I'm not convinced. You and Ken do. Do you want to be a growing church? I mean, stop and think about it. It's exciting. But I will say, being a growing church is difficult. You run into problems. And it's not just because people get contrary. It's because there are valid problems that come up and issues that have to be dealt with in a growing church. And so the more the church grows, the more you have to minister, the more you have to deal with the issues that come up. And so that has to be our mindset. You know, we're not here to serve anyway. We're not here to be served, right? We're here to serve. That pretty much has to be our mindset. But let's examine the complaint. The complaint was that the widows of the Hellenists were being neglected. And when that happens, you have to admire the apostles because of the way they respond. They do not get defensive. They do not yell and say, well, we're doing the best we can do. They address the problem, and they even address it from the manner of, we realize we're not fulfilling this need. We're not taking care of this business that needs to be taken care of. They don't deny anything. They address the issue. The problem is not that the apostles didn't address the issue or weren't trying. The problem was that these apostles were doing something they were not called to do. Okay? That was the whole issue. And look, they said, it's not desirable that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. That word desirable, it doesn't mean that we don't want to. It means it's not right. It's not proper. It's not acceptable. You know, as I was thinking about that, I thought of when I first surrendered to preach and when I was young in the ministry and first started pastoring. You know, I thought it was my job to do everything. I thought it was my job to go to every hospital visit that needed to be made. If the church needed painted, I thought it was my job to paint it. If the church had a building program, I thought it was my job to lead in that building program. And not only to lead, but to build the building after we started the program, and I thought it was my job to do everything. Missions, you know, it was my job to lead out in mission support. But I've discovered something since that time. I've discovered I can either do all those things, go to every hospital visit and go to every church function and make every visit that needs to be made, or I can feed the sheep, but I can't do both. It took me a long time to learn that lesson. And so I want to stop right here, and I want to thank you, Victory Baptist Church, for the position that you have put me in. It is my job. Jesus told Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. And I have tried to do that in the years past, and I will continue to try to do that in the years ahead. But I feel that as the pastor of Victory, that has been your main expectation of me, is to feed the sheep. And so I appreciate you understanding that to feed the sheep, I've got to spend a lot of time studying, preparing to feed the sheep. And so I probably don't say things like this to you nearly often enough, but tonight I would officially like to say thank you, Victory, for putting me in the position that I'm in and enabling me to do what I'm called to do. And so that's really important for the health of the church. It's really important for me as the pastor to do what I'm called to do. So anyway, the apostles say, basically, that's not what we're called to do. We've got to take care of this problem and do what we're called to do and get somebody else who's called to take care of this ministry. And that's the solution that they did. They called the people of the church and they said, seek out seven men. Not just any men. And I emphasize that. Seek out seven men. Men who have a good reputation. Men who are full of the Holy Spirit. Men who are full of wisdom. Now, I understand again that this is requirements that, or these are things they're looking at, are basically what they'll be looking for deacons. But listen, doesn't these things apply to anyone that's going to take any position in the church? Shouldn't this be our expectation? Shouldn't they have a good reputation, meaning over a period of time they have demonstrated qualities whereas they could do the job that the church has put them into? Over a period of time they've demonstrated honesty and dedication and a love for the Lord and being filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, when you're placed in a position of leadership in the church, I think we first lead by example. And so before you're placed in that position, I think the church has a right to look at the past of that individual and say, hey, do they meet that expectation? And we know here they appointed seven men, deacons. And let's address that before we go any farther. The word deacon, you know what that means? It means to serve. It doesn't mean to be church leader or head of something in the church. It simply means to serve. And I think sometimes we put unjust expectations on deacons. That if something's not going quite right, that we think, well, the deacons are supposed to take care of that. No, they're supposed to serve. If anything, the people who are supposed to take care of that are church elders. And so just be careful before you have the mentality. If you want to know what deacons are supposed to, or the qualification for deacons, you can go to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and see that. But don't put expectations on deacons that are not scriptural. Deacons are here to serve. And so anyway, they look and consider the reputations and the qualifications of these men. Here's the challenge. You know, we're not that far away. We're not that far away from election of teachers and officers in the church. That happens in August. Michael reminded me of last week that it's time to put out servant surveys, which is what we're supposed to use to fill those church offices. But isn't it reasonable for Victory to consider the reputation and the qualifications of an individual before Victory elects them to a church office? Shouldn't you have that expectation as a church? I think sometimes we let that slip. I think sometimes we elect people to positions just to fill that position. Listen, just because someone volunteers for a position does not mean they're a good fit for that position. Just because they desire to serve in that position does not mean they're a good fit for that position. The church should have a reasonable confidence in an individual that they have demonstrated certain qualities that says they can serve in that position very well in the church. That's reasonable, is it not? When you go to a doctor, you expect him to have a medical degree, don't you? When you go to a lawyer, you expect him to have, I don't know, what do they have, a law degree? Yeah. Well, we don't expect people to have degrees to serve in the church, but we expect people to be qualified to serve in the different positions of the church. I think that is a very reasonable expectation. And so with that in mind, you ask, how do they demonstrate such a quality? I'm glad you asked. Okay? We've got committees in the church. I have a great deal of respect for every committee, and I think Victory should respect those committees. And so with that in mind, let me make a suggestion to our committees. You should be on recruitment mission at all times. I'm going to say that again. If you're on a committee, you should be on a mission to recruit people to that committee at all times. Now, I'm not saying you you do that by inviting them to committee meetings. I'm going to say that again. You invite people to committee meetings, right? Because we can announce from the pulpit all that we want to announce and say, oh, everybody is welcome to all committee meetings. But let's face it, most of you are not just going to up and go to a committee meeting that you're not elected to, right? Do I have an amen? Amen. You're not. But if you're invited, if someone on the mission committee puts their arm around you and says, hey, come to the mission committee meeting with me this week, you might discover you have a love for missions. Somebody on the building committee invites you to the building committee meeting, you might discover you have a really good interest in the building that's going on, right? And you may have qualifications that the church does not know about. And so I think it's very important that our committees be very, very proactive. But I also want to tell the church this. I think, again, we should be very respectful and receive what comes out of our committees. We need to take them seriously, right? I know we're not a committee-led church, but I think we elect people to building committees, mission committees, to do a work that everybody cannot do on their own. And so when they come and make recommendations to the church, I think we should take that recommendation very seriously. And if we don't vote to do that recommendation, I think there needs to be a really, really good reason that we do not. Because they have done the work. And they have served the church. And so I just thought I'd throw that out there, okay? And anyway, I want to encourage you. We always have problems. We always have problems filling positions. A church the size of Victory should not have that problem. I haven't looked at the membership lately. Last time I looked, there was something like 450 members. No, I think anyway, there's a bunch, right? Suffice it to say, there's a bunch. And it is an honor and a privilege to serve the Lord through His New Testament church. I want to go a little farther. You're not too old to serve the Lord in His New Testament church. Okay? You're not. You're not too young either. Right? Now, we're not gonna throw a young man in a position that he's not experienced for. But I think even the young people should have an interest in serving. And so, again, going back to the committees, when you invite somebody, look at the young people. Invite a teenager. Invite a college student. Let them see what we do. And let them tag along with you for a meeting or two. Anyway, I say all that to bring us to this point. You know, God has a way of finding people to serve Him. He placed these seven men in this church for this purpose. I believe that with all my heart, right? And so having done that, as they were called to serve, they stepped up and I believe they served well. Oh, Stephen, he served a little bit too well. He's going to get killed in the next chapter because he's preaching the gospel, you know. But that's okay. He was doing what God called him to do. They solved the problem, the long and short of it all. They elected seven men and they set them before the apostles. Okay? And I love this part. And they laid hands on them and they prayed for them. That's the other thing we need to be doing as a church. I know you pray for me. I do. I feel it all the time. And I thank you so very much. Please continue to pray for me. I need your prayers. And I need those prayers in relation to me filling the pulpit, preaching the gospel, and feeding the sheep. Right? But don't just pray for me. We have a lot of people that are serving this church. We have a finance committee that serves. They're responsible to take care and make sure the finances do what they're supposed to do. Pray for them, okay? Pray for the finance committee. Pray for this building committee that is working on the new construction. That's a hard job. Been there and done that. And when you try to build a building with a committee of, I don't know how many, 10 or 12 people, well, that's a lot of opinions. Some of them valid, some of them not. But then when you get all those opinions to agree, then you got to come back out before the church and get the whole church to agree. So it's a big deal. Pray for those guys. Pray for every pastor. Pray for Brother Michael. Pray for Brother Josh. Pray for Brother Kelly, Brother Dale, Brother Ken, every staff member. Everybody that's serving in this church is over their head. Okay? They are over their head. By that, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but we're trying to do a supernatural work, which we do not have that ability. Only God gives that ability. Pray that God will empower the church staff. Pray that God will empower every committee that we have. Pray that everybody, and here's the other thing. You see, I believe we're all different for a reason. We're all different for a reason. There are some things I don't have any business doing. Just like these apostles said, you know, it's not right that we spend our time doing these things because God has called us to preach and to minister in the Word. We're all different for a reason. You have an ability that can be utilized in this church. That's why God put you here. Okay? Seek out that ability. And let me encourage you. Go visit with a committee that you're interested in. My goodness. Go visit a committee that you don't think you're interested in. You might become interested, right? But as we go through the process of filling out the servant surveys, when it comes time to elect, let us stop and consider the people that we elect and be sure that we make them a matter of our prayers continually. Okay? I love the way this ends. Very much I love the way this ends. You see, the church didn't blow up because there was a problem. They didn't panic because there was a problem. They addressed the problem, took care of the problem, and then in verse 7, it says, then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. You know, when you do things right, God blesses. When you got God's people in the right place, God blesses. When God's people are serving as they're called to do, God blesses. So here's the challenge. I said, you know, I know this is deacons, but there's so much application, and there's a lot more application than I'm covering tonight, all right? But let's use this as a pattern. Church election's coming up in a couple months. Let's look at this. Before we elect somebody, let's take a look and make sure they're the right people for the position. And if you're interested in getting elected, hey, go to the meetings, go to these committees and check them out and make sure it's really what you want to do and it's really what God's calling you to do, because I'll be honest with you. This is a pastor venting a little bit. It's aggravating for somebody to drop off a committee in the middle of the year and just quit showing up, okay? That's not acceptable. If the church trusts you, you are to be faithful and fill your position faithfully. Let's take serious. We call it business meeting, and we tend to think, well, there's certain things that the church is just business. God's not really in it. Listen, God's in every aspect of this church. Whether it's in a business meeting or whether it's a worship service on Sunday morning. If God's not in it, we should not be a part of it. Amen? Amen? Come on. So let's take serious. when these servant surveys come out, maybe I should be preaching this on Sunday morning, Michael, I don't know. But when the servant surveys come out, think about it. Pray about it. God hadn't put you here to sit on a pew. And not only you, but let's remind our Sunday school classes. Tell our Sunday school classes, your Sunday school class, fill out these surveys. Remind them God has a place for them, right? And so let's just take this seriously. I'm sorry. Some days are diamonds, some days are not. As we move into the future, Victory's a growing church. Thank God for the growth. It's because of God. But as we grow, understand there are responsibilities that we have as a church. Organization, administration, and making sure the right people are in the right positions that God has called them to be in. All right? Finally, are you saved? Are you a child of God? If you are here tonight, you understand this. God has brought you here for a reason. If you're saved, He brought you here for a reason to hear this message. If you're not saved, He brought you here to give you the opportunity of a lifetime to receive His salvation. The wonderful thing about salvation is you can't buy it. You can't even earn it. You have to receive it. Bought and paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary because you're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of that wonderful sacrifice that Jesus made, salvation is available to all. Are you a child of God? If not, will you please come and let me show you the Word of God, the plan of salvation. Would you stand? Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the privilege of looking into Your Word. And we thank You for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for the privilege of serving. And sometimes we forget, it is a privilege to serve You. It's not a burden. And so, Father, as we do the servant surveys, and even to the point of when we have church elections, let us take it seriously. Give us hearts to serve. And Father, empower us to serve in ways that are greater than our human ability, but rather that we serve in Your supernatural ability. Lord, I pray Your continued blessings upon this church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.